I want to share with you some things from my heart. You know, we've been talking about a supernatural obsession. Others refer to it as a magnificent obsession. It's this idea of us desiring God, pursuing God, us being a part of what is this pursuit of the supernatural God of the universe. And so I've subtitled this message, The Divine Pursuit. The Divine Pursuit. Forgive the, I want you to see that graphic because I want you to understand, and you'll see how it ties in. But this morning we're taking communion. And so I want us to focus in for a little bit upon Jesus and what he's done for us. Partaking of communion is a reminder of God's love for us. It is a reminder of the covenant we have through Jesus. Jesus is the reason that we are able to have a relationship with the supernatural God. He's the reason. In no other religion do we find what Jesus did. We don't find in any other religion that the God that they serve came and gave his life to bring them into community with him. Our God gave his son Jesus to die for us. He gave of himself so that we might be saved. He became the sacrifice in order to bring us into relationship with himself. He redeemed us. God has always been about relationship. From the beginning with Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Then God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? This was a picture of something that happened on a regular basis. It was something that was a usual part of their routine. They fellowshiped, they communed with God, they walked with God. God was in relationship with them. They were in relationship with him. When they rejected him, when they rejected God, blood had to be shed to cover their sins. We see this in Genesis 3:21. It says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. There was a sacrifice that was made to cover their sin. God never desired animal sacrifice. That's something very important to know. God never desired animal sacrifice. Even at Mount Sinai, it was about relationship. It was about relationship. But people rejected him. Look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 through 6. It says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the people of the earth. For all the earth belongs to me. And you will be for me a kingdom of priests, my holy nation. But what was their response in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19? They said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. What God wanted was for his people to live as a reflection of him on the earth. He wanted them to honor him by the way they lived. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 21 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him, and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Look, the highest heavens and earth and everything in it belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love. And he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your mind and stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love. For you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be in the name of, in his name alone. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, it says, rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. The Ten Commandments were an outline for living as his children. It was the code of conduct that was necessary for relationship. Think about it for a second. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. That's a code of conduct for living. What was it that he was trying to do? He was trying to say that we had to be, that he wanted us to reflect him. And if we were to do these things, even though we were fallen in our nature, we would be living as he desired for us to live. We would be living in a way that honored him. We know that no unholy thing can be in relationship with God because God is holy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God used the first covenant to reveal to us his holiness and his righteousness. As the Apostle Paul said, without the law, we would not have known how sinful we were. The law reveals to us God's righteousness, and in doing so, it revealed to us our sinfulness. The shedding of blood was required to cover sin, but animal sacrifice was not what God desired. That's really important to understand, because in other religions, in other practices, you see that there was human sacrifice, there was animal sacrifice, there were all of these different things. And there was this self-mutilation. There were all of these things that they did to try to gain the favor of the God that they were serving. God never desired animal sacrifice. That wasn't what was in his heart. His heart was for relationship. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 through 20. It says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no fuel sacrifice. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What God was saying here is that the children of Israel had become perfectly content killing innocent animals so that they could continue living however they wanted. This is exactly how many people treat Jesus. They don't think twice about their behavior because Jesus died for their sins. So whatever they do is okay. I want us to look at what the Bible says about that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 29, it says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could keep living in the pig pen. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could keep living in the pig pen. Grace is not permission to sin. Grace is freedom from sin. Grace is not a ticket to heaven. Grace is the right to relationship. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 14 says, well then, shall we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ Jesus in baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new life. Since we have been united with him in his death, we also will be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So, you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. If we misinterpret grace, listen to this carefully. If we misinterpret grace, we completely misrepresent the gospel. The good news is that Jesus gave us the right. He gave us the right to become children of God. He gave us the right to become children of God. But there is one word that no one likes to use. Repentance. Repentance. The whole point of grace is that it gives us the opportunity to repent. That's the point of grace. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, standing before the governor, he said, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. Repentance literally means to turn from. It's a 180-degree turn. We can't do this in our own strength. We can't do this in our own strength. That is why Jesus came and suffered and defeated the power of sin. He did all of this so that the same power that was in him could now live in us. We live holy, godly lives, lives that are a reflection of God when we are fully surrendered, when we are fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read some verses from Romans chapter 8. You can see the passages up there. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that pleases the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of the sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Who helps us? The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us. Who prays for us?
Holy Spirit.
Prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us. Who pleads for us?
Okay.
The Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. We talked about how this works last week. We are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit as we are in relationship with Him. Surrendering control, letting Him live through us, getting in God's presence, seeking Him. The more we are in the presence of the Lord, the more we reflect Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Jesus came to earth. He died a brutal death as payment for our sin. He defeated Satan by rising again. He sits at the right hand of the Father, constantly interceding for us, and has sent us the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, to live within us and to empower us to be witnesses, to live by living through us. Do you honestly think that after all that that He's okay with us living like the devil? Is He okay with us staying in the pig pen? Was the purpose of all of this so that we could go around pursuing every lustful desire? You think that the pain and suffering of the cross that He endured was for us to be able to satisfy the sinful cravings of our flesh? Every day that we walk around defeated and bound in sin is a day that we are denying the power of God. It is a day that we are denying the power of God. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. But we must surrender control. We must submit. What does James 4:7 say? Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Sometimes we don't even do the first part. We find it that we don't even submit ourselves. And then we're out there trying to rebuke the devil, and we're getting beat up all over the place, and we're trying to figure out why. Why is it that I don't have any power over the enemy? Because you never have power over the enemy. And you never will. The power belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. It is God's power in us that makes us new. It renews us. It gives us the ability to live a life that is an overcoming life. The power of God gives us the ability to say no. The power of God, it gives us the ability to resist the devil and to watch him flee. It's the power of God within us. But the Bible says very clearly, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I die daily. I die daily. We must daily surrender to God. Not my will, but thine be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It is a daily surrender. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. It sounds really simple. It's just the implementation, right? It's putting it in practice. Jesus came to restore us to relationship with God. The evidence of our relationship with God is demonstrated by the way we live. You will know a tree by its fruit. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God. Let's get our eyes right. Let's have our minds renewed. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Isaiah 57. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be put
to shame.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. If I will keep the cross before me, if I will keep Jesus before me, guess where the world is going to be? Behind me. No turning back. What What does the song say? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. What does the next part say? In His presence. In His presence. Daily live. We sing it. We know it by heart. Do we really know what we're saying? Do we really know what we're thinking about? Are we thinking about the words? Are the words more than just words?
Yes.
In His presence, daily, I surrender all. As the musicians are coming, we're about to partake of communion. But I want to ask us, have you made the decision to follow Jesus? Are you a follower of Christ? Have you surrendered all to Him? Are you living Romans 12 2? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, what does it say? I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable act of worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have you presented your body a living sacrifice? Are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? Or are you still conforming to the patterns of this world? Have you truly repented? Has there been a 180 in your life? Are you still playing around with sin? God's grace leads us to repentance. Don't try to play church. Don't try to play church. Don't worry about what people think. God knows everything. Can't hide. He knows all about your sin. My sin. His promise is that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn to Him. Fall upon His grace and forgiveness. Repent. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you and guide you. Let His power live through you. It is His power that transforms us. It's His power that changes us. Surrender your weakness to God. And let His strength, be made perfect in you. God has paved the way to relationship. It is up to us to remain in Him. James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. We can't fool God. We can't pull the wool over on God's eyes. Coming to church is just a thing that we do if we are not in relationship. What is relationship? It's a constant surrender. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not standing up here saying, hey, if y'all aren't all perfect, y'all are all condemned to hell. That's not what I'm saying. What is relationship? It's being honest. It's coming before God. It's getting in His presence. It's repentance. It's confession. It's falling on your face before God and saying, God, come and heal me. God, come and cleanse me. God, come and change me, because I'm sick and tired of the way that my sinful nature controls my life. I'm sick and tired of the things, of falling into the same old traps, the same old temptations. I'm sick and tired of the way that the things around me are pulling on me. I need to be in your presence. I need more of you. I need for your Holy Spirit to come and work in my life. I need for you to be real, for your salvation, your grace, your mercy, the cross to ever be before my eyes, so that I do not sin against you. May your power change me. May your power consume me, so that I do not trample on your sacrifice. So that I do not trample on the grace that you've given. This morning we're going to do things a little bit different. The musicians can go ahead and come up. We're going to, rather than us come and receive the bread and the juice, and then go back and wait, or have it passed out to you and everybody wait, and say it together, we're going to do something different. Today, it's going to be you and God. Today, it's going to be you and God. And then I want you to find a place. If you feel that you need to kneel, if you need to stand in silence and reverence, I want you to renew your commitment to God. I want you to set things right. And then I want you to partake. And when you do, you are saying before the Lord, I've decided that I'm going to follow you. And I'm not turning back. If there are those here in the house today that would say, I don't know Jesus and I need to confess my sins before the Lord, you can do that here at the altar. If you feel that you need to confess with someone and have someone lead you through prayer, we have the teams here at the prayer wall that will pray with you. If you need healing, the Bible says, let them call for the elders of the church. They will lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith will say this. And if they have committed sin, it will be forgiven them. If you have a sickness in your body and you need healing and you would like for the elders to pray over you, you can come here, you can receive, and you can take it with you, and you can go and be prayed over, and believe God for your healing. Believe God for your restoration. If you just want someone to pray with you, for a renewed commitment. If you feel like there's something that you need to confess with someone, that's what that wall is for. These are elders of the body here today. Elders of the congregation that are standing here, and they represent the leadership in this church. So you can come and you can feel the peace knowing that you will be receiving from God this morning. You'll be receiving from God this morning. If you want to come and receive and just stand and confess, that's fine. But the Bible is very clear. Confess, if you will confess your sins before the Lord, He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That doesn't mean you have to confess to a person. That can be done in private before the Lord. He's the one that forgives. But if you feel the need to receive from someone, the eldership is here to pray with you. Pastor Sanford will be over there as well in just a moment. Scripture says, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. This do took the cup and he blessed it. And then he gave it to his disciples, said, "This is the blood of the new covenant of my that is poured out for you. This do in remembrance of me." It is his sacrifice that makes us holy. It is his blood that makes us worthy. It is what he did that makes us complete. Our responsibility is to live in communion with him. That is why this is called the table of communion. When we come and we partake, we are reminding ourselves and we are renewing our commitment to him, saying we will be in communion, we will be in fellowship, we will be in relationship with you. How many of you are thankful for the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
How many of you are thankful for what he's done? Can you give the Lord, come on, give the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your blood. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for all that you've done. We continue, Lord, to place ourselves before you, and we ask, oh God, that you would draw us. Draw us into your presence. May there be a hunger and a desire that we would be drawn toward you, toward relationship with you. I ask, oh God, that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you. May you ever be before us. May we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we go from this place, Lord, as we walk out into our communities, may it be so that we would ever be mindful of the sacrifice that you made. And may we be found worthy. May we be found worthy, Lord. May we hold you in the highest regard with our actions, with our thoughts, every single day, submitting ourselves to you, resisting the enemy, and knowing that he must flee. Lord, we renew our commitment to you today. We renew ourselves before you, and we say, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, so we know that you will lead us. Holy Spirit,